We here at Pucked in the Head concluded our last podcast by, well, spiraling into a little pit of immaturity and calling each other a bunch of names. In honor of that event, we've decided to give you the all-douche episode of Pucked in the Head. All right, if that sounded a little bit different for you listeners out there, it's because we used the douchometer as our theme song for this episode. The douchometer, of course, was introduced a few episodes ago, and it's an invention of my very own. I'm here with my friend Chris Withers to discuss all things douche in the NHL.
Jason, good to be back. We've been neglecting the douchometer for a few episodes, and it has just been going crazy.
You know, it's the NHL. I mean, we're not seeing any players who are sponsoring dogfighting rings or shooting each other or brandishing firearms in the locker room, just to name a couple of things that might happen in some sports.
Nevertheless, we are replete with douchebaggery.
The douchometer, which I invented, and the trademark and patent are under review. When it picks up douchebag activity, it will start to play the Chicago Blackhawks goal song, Chelsea Dagger.
Yes.
That's what lets us know that there is a douche on the premises.
It's really clever. Because, I mean, how can you hear that song and not think, oh, douche?
Certainly, every time the Blackhawks score against the Vancouver Canucks, that's exactly what I say.
Yes. So let's kick this off. The first douche we're going to talk about, I happen to like this guy usually, but he's never one to hold back on his opinions, Mr. Don Cherry.
Don Cherry walks into Toronto City Council and starts talking about left-wing pinkos and left-wing kooks.
Left-wing pinkos who ride bicycles and everything,
quote. First of all, Rob Ford, the new mayor of Toronto, I don't want to get into a political rant of any kind. However, this guy is an utter nut job.
Yeah.
Okay, imagine Chris Farley, who was the token fat guy on Saturday Night Live. Chris Farley comes back with political aspirations, but absolutely no academic, legal, or political know-how.
I haven't seen Rob Ford, but from your descriptions of him, he sounds like someone I would like to kick in the teeth.
I would like to kick him in the balls, actually. This guy is an absolute turd. And the fact that he is now the mayor of Toronto, honestly, just gives us one more reason to hate T-Dot.
Not that we need it anymore.
Not that we need it. You know what? I'm sure there are a lot of very nice people over there, you know, on Theater Row or on Yonge Street. But frankly, Rob Ford is an embarrassment, not only to Toronto, he's an embarrassment to Canada.
Now, what does that make Canada's national treasure, Don Cherry, for supporting this guy?
Don Cherry, I actually think he's a rather entertaining guy, and he's extremely knowledgeable when it comes to hockey. But outside of that, he's a senile old goat.
Douche.
No one in Toronto apparently was willing to put the necklace around Rob Ford's neck at his swearing-in ceremony. So Don Cherry was invited to come out, and in his speech, he referred to Rob Ford's opposition as left-wing pinkos. And he also equated communism with people who ride bicycles. So basically, anyone who rides a bicycle is against capitalism and democracy.
There's irony in that both Don Cherry and Rob Ford, judging by the photograph on this article,
have never ridden a bicycle.
Look like they should ride a bicycle.
Yes. This is my favorite part. At the end of his speech, which was embarrassing, and some of the counselors were offended, of course, because apparently they're left-wing pinkos, and they were upset. People at CTV Toronto called it embarrassing. The language in the speech of our guest speaker was inappropriate and unacceptable. It is language that if any counselor used them on the floor of council, they would be asked to withdraw those remarks and give an apology. And this was Janet Davis told CTV Toronto this, and she's a counselor in Toronto. His speech at the end, Don Cherry says, quote unquote, "Now put that in your pipe, you left-wing kooks." This is the official swearing-in ceremony of the mayor of Toronto.
Here's what I find to be the funniest part of this. I absolutely laughed my ass off at Don Cherry's speech, and I want to tell the councilwoman to shut the hell up. As much as I might disagree with the content of Cherry's speech, he's Don Cherry. You kind of know what you're getting. Just settle down.
But I still have to say, this is the swearing-in ceremony of the mayor of Canada's largest city.
Okay, so I'm going to say Rob Ford is the douche for inviting Don Cherry.
So you're telling me that if the mayor of New York City invites Howard Stern to the swearing-in ceremony of the new mayor of New York City, and Howard Stern comes in and promptly says all kinds of negative things about women, misogynist comments, anything about gays, in the military, whatever, that's kosher.
I don't think it's ever kosher to be homophobic or misogynistic, but I think if you invite someone in who is a known quantity and expect something different, you're an idiot.
But why is Don Cherry the one putting the trappings of mayorship upon this guy's shoulders?
That's why I say Rob Ford is the douche. Why would you go and invite him?
Well, I can't argue with you because Rob Ford is a big douche. And honestly, Toronto, WTF, ! ! All right, second on our list today.
Can I just say that was embarrassing?
Thank you. Just because I want to get this out of the way, Mike Gillis, I love the guy. He's done great things for this Canucks franchise right now. I think he made his first douche move. Well, second douche move. I think his first douche move was not offering Marcus Naslund any kind of offer when Naslund's contract was up. He ended up spending one mean-nothing year in New York Rangers roster. I think Gillis should have tried to have him finish his career as a Canuck.
Okay.
However, this latest one was inviting his old line mate, Brendan Morrison, to do a tryout and then bring in Peter Schaefer and said, maybe not a douche move, but he just made the wrong call. Peter Schaefer was not the right ex-Canuck to bring back.
Do you think Morrison would have been?
Well, Morrison is one of the Flames' top four scorers right now.
Right, because he's getting second line minutes.
I just think that he had a very good training camp, and I would have loved to see
I'm sick to death of this argument. I don't think Morrison should have been here because he would have played on the fourth line, and he would have done nothing.
All right, well, you're a douche. Which one we want to talk about next?
Let's go with Coley Campbell.
All right.
Always a douche.
And a hobbit. He looks like a hobbit. And not one of the attractive hobbits either. He was one of the ugly, nose-picking hobbits from the beginning of the first film.
Okay. Well, this particular controversy.
Yeah.
Controversy, as the British say.
Never do that again. Colin Campbell is the head of discipline for the NHL.
Yes.
And makes all kinds of money, pretty much exclusively for having no neck.
There were some emails of Colin Campbell's that came to light. These particular emails were written some time ago, came to light, actually, a couple of years ago, during the firing process of Dean Warren, who was an NHL official. Now, what happened is a blogger took a look at those emails and, in his spare time, lined up the games that were mentioned in the emails because it wasn't known specifically which games he was talking about, matched up
the dates of the emails
and figured out who it was that he was talking about.
And Colin Campbell was calling a player a sneak and basically an actor.
Yes. And that turned out to be Mark Savard.
Who, of course, missed more than a season with a concussion. And he called him a faker.
He did call him a little faker.
And there was no suspension on the hit.
No, that was Matt Cook's shot to the head. And it turned out as well that a lot of the calls that he was complaining about were all against his son. So here we had a senior executive of the National Hockey League sending communications to the director of officiating at the time, Stephen Wacom, saying basically one of the referees was incompetent and should be replaced based on calls that he made against his son. Colin Campbell's son. Gregory Campbell.
Playing for?
I believe he's now with the Bruins.
Okay. Once that story came out, what was the fallout as far as the league was concerned? There was no discipline on this.
No, none whatsoever.
From Gary Bettman.
That's the situation in a nutshell, and Colin Campbell is a douche.
I agree with you. Sean Avery is always a douche.
Yeah.
End of story.
You know what, though? I just want to say, I can't believe he wasn't suspended in the game against the Oilers a week or two ago.
He cold-cocked Vladislav Schmid.
Yeah, it was a pansy move. You know,
well, certainly cowardly.
Very, very cowardly. He delivered a questionable hit to someone. Vladislav Schmid challenged him.
To a fight.
Avery said no.
And
no,
Schmid is not a fighter.
No, he's not, no. Avery shrugs it off, watching the play down the ice. Schmid lowers his guard, and all of a sudden, Avery drops his gloves quickly, turns to his left and cold cocks Schmid and gets the better of him in a fight.
So it was a bit of a sucker punch. There's as much as I don't like Avery, which is a lot, this is how pretty much every fight was conducted for decades in the NHL.
I don't care.
Does that mean that the entire league was full of douchebags at that point?
Sure.
Okay. I'm not a big fan of fighting in general in the NHL.
I do like a good fight in the NHL, but I like it to be honest, and this was crap.
Okay. Yeah, and like I said, for me, it's just, I don't even need an incident. Sean Avery will always show up in the douchebag conversation for me. Yeah. This guy's just a jerk.
Next douche. You and I are both on the Twitter.
We are on the Twitter. It's true. Also, I am at Pucked in the Head.
And I am at Chris_Withers. Paul Bissonnette of the Phoenix Coyotes is
BizNasty 2.0.
Also on the Twitter. And something happened to him. This was also in Edmonton a couple of weeks ago. Phoenix played in Edmonton, and Bissonnette lost his phone.
He lost his telephone, like, in West Edmonton Mall, I believe.
I think that's where he said, yeah. So, he uses another telephone, and No, I'm sorry. He took a look at his phone bill and saw that a couple of Edmonton phone numbers had been dialed by whoever found his phone. He called those numbers and said, "Hey, I'm the owner of the phone. Someone called you using it. Do you know who it was?" And they basically said, "No. No idea what you're talking about. Sorry, bye." Bissonnette's response was to post the phone numbers that were dialed from his phone on Twitter.
On Twitter.
And he said, "Abuse these phone numbers."
Wow. So he was calling for basically a landslide of calls to go to these numbers.
Yes. Now, I think that is douchery.
I can kind of see both sides of it. I don't think putting it on Twitter when you have thousands and thousands of followers is the way to go.
You know what? I think that if he had done this to the guy who actually took his phone, I wouldn't have had so much of a problem with it.
Okay, but we don't know who he phoned.
Exactly.
It could have been a business for some reason.
Yeah.
It could have been a relative.
He said that these guys sounded like they knew who had taken his phone.
So he just didn't believe them.
Yes.
You see, for me, that doesn't mean he's a douche. It just means he's an idiot. And that's not necessarily the same thing.
All right, moving on.
The last one I would like to talk about is Ilya Kovalchuk deserves to be in the douchebag category simply for his performance this year.
Yeah, I think you mentioned it last podcast.
I have been following this very closely with my tweets as well on Twitter. I've been quite interested in this. This is the richest contract per year in the history of the NHL, as far as a long-term deal goes. And he's a $100 million man, basically.
Mm-hmm.
He's renowned for disappearing in international competitions and in the playoffs. And this guy, after signing his bazillion-dollar deal in New Jersey, is currently on pace for 33 points.
Well, he's got 9 more years to figure it out.
At this rate, he will score 300 points over the course of his $100 million contract.
Fantastic.
That means he will be paid over $300,000 per point.
Speechless. There's another incident recently that involved Kovalchuk.
He is not the guy that I consider to be the douche in this situation.
Okay.
The Washington Capitals, just because they're in a fairly weak division, they're probably going to win the President's Trophy again. But they laid a super egg, a massive egg against the Devils. They lost a shutout loss to one of the league's worst teams.
Yes.
And this is one of the highest octane offenses in the history of the league. And they lost 5-0 to the Devils. After the game, Bruce Boudreau is having his after-game press conference, the coach of Washington.
Mm-hmm.
Within earshot of Boudreau and the media during this press conference, Alexander Semin, Alexander Ovechkin, and Ilya Kovalchuk were heard yucking it up in the hallway right beside the press conference. And there's actual video of Bruce Boudreau and trying to bite back his words about it. And then the camera pans to these three having a big laugh in the hallway. This is some serious douchebaggery when it comes to how you respect your coach and how you respect your organization. I don't believe that players should hate other players from other teams.
I don't think it was douchebaggery. I think it was merely inattentiveness. Hockey is kind of unique in that it's one of the few sports where it's not customary to greet the other players after the game. Basketball, football, soccer, after the game, it's very common for opposing players to, you know, shake hands, hug, laugh, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, international soccer, guys trade jerseys.
Yeah, after it, hockey, right? For some reason, you go meet with your goalie, touch helmets, and you skate off the ice.
Well, except for at the end of a playoff series.
Exactly, that's the only time.
And you see the handshake.
So I don't have a problem with opposing players getting together. I think it's...
within earshot of the press conference?
Well, that's why I say it was inattentive. I mean, they shouldn't have done it right there.
The coach is answering some pretty serious questions about his star players who were extremely ineffective. Alex Ovechkin underperforming in the goal-scoring front.
I don't believe for a second that they were aware of what was of the nature of the questions. And I think they just chose a bad time.
Douche!
All right, I disagree.
Okay, one that we both agree on.
Yeah, this is a very, very sad thing that happened in the National Hockey League. A three-time, I believe, Jack Adams Award winner.
Three-time Jack Adams Award winner with three different teams.
With three different teams. The only coach ever to do that.
Yep.
A Stanley Cup winner with the New Jersey Devils. Pat Burns lost.
And he is one of the few men to coach three original six teams. Toronto, Montreal, and Boston.
True, yeah. He recently lost a battle with cancer, and there was a lot of talk that the Hall of Fame committee would induct him this year so that he would have a chance to go into the
hall while
he was still alive. They elected not to do that. I don't know if he was he eligible, or would it have been an exception?
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. I'm just curious.
Doesn't matter. I can't think of a single hockey person as a fan or as someone involved as a player or as a manager or whatever who didn't think that he should have been in the hall this year.
Yeah. So they chose not to.
Whoever, members of the Hockey Hall of Fame election committee, douche!
Douche.
You are all douches. Pat Burns was huge. Should have been there.
Yeah. No, it's tragic that he's not in the hall yet.
And I mean, it's tragic for this man to die at the age of 58. He's been battling cancer for a while and beat it twice, and then it came back. And this time, it won.
Yeah.
And yeah, he should have been in the hall regardless.
Yeah. Of all the years that they finally decide to put Dino Cicerelli, of all people, into the Hockey Hall of Fame, and they can't find it within themselves to put Pat Burns in there. Ridiculous.
So we here at Pucked in the Head, we would like to have a moment of silence for Pat Burns, of course, and a second of silence for the douchebags of the world. One, a tribute, the other, a head shake. Thanks for coming out, Chris.
Always a pleasure, Jason.
We'll see you next time.
Absolutely. They say-